I just want to give us a few moments just to reposition our hearts for what I feel the Lord wants to do. I didn't even know it was Australia Day. That's how much of a calendar I keep. But it is apparently. And there's a swirling happening prophetically, and I just want to allow the Holy Spirit to minister to us for a few moments. So I'm just going to ask the worship team, as they feel led, could I have this just dropped a little bit, please, Richard? Thank you. As they feel led, just to minister to the Lord, and we'll just be with them in that. I'm not asking them to do a particular song, but just I want to release some things as we minister now. And then I want to talk about landmarks, and I want to just give you guys a bit of insight into where we're going and what we feel the Lord is doing in our midst, and then we can go from there. So you can sit or stand, you can run, you can dive, you can dance, I don't mind, as we just minister to the Lord for a little while, and then we'll, I don't know, I'm not sure what time frame this is, so let's just give him some time, and then we're going to release something together in the name of Jesus. Thanks heaps, guys. So feel free to be yourself. If you want to stand, you want to sit, go for it. You are the great I am. We just surrender to you now, Holy Spirit. And just stir up, Lord, every word that's been spoken over your sons and daughters in this room right now. We call to life every word, Lord, that you have spoken in the name of Yeshua the Christ. We speak over the dormant things. We call them to life in Jesus' name. The things that have been planted that haven't grown, we decree life over them now in the name of Jesus. The dormant things, Lord, the things that have been forgotten, even those forgotten things, Lord, we ask, Lord, to bring them back to our memory right now in the name of Yeshua the Christ. So as Paul did to Timothy, Lord, we stir up the prophetic promises that have been spoken over your sons and spoken over your daughters. And we thank you, Father, for your words of truth and life. We thank you, Jesus, for those precious words that you've spoken to us. We thank you for the things, Lord, that have been even that we've laid down, Lord, that you've asked us to pick up again. We with faith today pick them up in the name of Jesus. With no fear. The word says that we have been not given a spirit of fear, but of love and peace and a sound mind. And so with love and peace and a sound mind, we pick up those things again in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Yahweh. Thank you, Yahweh. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. We just try as best we can to move out of your way, Holy Spirit, so you can move. Pray, Lord, that we would be people that are okay with being interrupted and okay with being changed, Lord, because of who you are. Because of what you want to do. So I pray, Father, even now, Lord, that you would start to minister to our heart. Even now, Lord, that we would start to, you would start to search us. David prayed, search me, Lord. And we thank you for searching us. And I pray, Lord, that in where we need to, that we would give up and we would receive, Lord, the outrageous kindness and the mercy and the love you have for us. And so we thank you this morning. We honor you, Holy Spirit. We honor you, Jesus. We honor you, God. We honor you, Yahweh. We thank you. May your name ever be on our lips, Lord. Thank you for this morning, Jesus. I'm just going to give you some markers if you would like them. Feel free to just continue with the Lord as you feel led in that moment. If you can have John chapter 4, Romans chapter 8 and Psalm 16. John chapter 4, Romans chapter 8 and Psalm 16. Thank you so much. Thank you to the whole of the team, including Richard and all the worshippers that lead us so diligently. We're so grateful to Yahweh for you. So thankful. So thankful. My prayer is that this morning you would move away from here with boldness and courage to believe that if you spoke to a mountain, it would move into the sea. That is the standard that Christ gave us in our prayer life. He wanted us to be bold enough and with enough courage in Him to believe that if we spoke to that mountain, we could command it to go into the sea. And so we pray this morning, Holy Spirit, you'd fill everyone with faith to move mountains. We pray that you would release the gift of faith. And we ask for that gift of faith now to come upon our lives, Lord, even upon our disappointments, to come upon our trials and our tribulations, to come upon our triumphs and victories. We ask you to give us the gift of faith, Holy Spirit, that we can be confident that when we pray, mountains shall move into the sea. And Jesus, your words to people who are not born again can seem ridiculous, that you would even dare to say to a man or a woman that they could move a mountain into the sea through prayer. But we thank you, Yahweh, that inside of prayer and inside of you are keys to your kingdom that you give to your sons and daughters so that they may move mountains into the sea. And so we just receive that now. I don't know how you receive, but we just receive, Holy Spirit, the gift of faith right now to move mountains, Lord. Faith that moves mountains, Lord. And we just thank you for that gift. I pray that we would steward it well, that we would steward it in a right heart, God, and that we would see incredible things come because we were bold enough to believe that you would move mountains through us. And so we thank you and receive that in the name of Yeshua the Christ. Such a joy to be with you all this morning, and I thank you so much for your confident, bold going before the throne of grace. Isn't he a beautiful king? He's so incredible. You know, in John 4, verse 24, it says that the Lord is looking and a time is coming now where they will worship him in spirit and in truth. You heard that before? Yep. And I just want to highlight something as we get started today, that word worship itself. And that word worship actually means to kiss the hand, to be intimate, to kiss the hand and to kneel down with your head on the ground in reverence to somebody. And I look at that and then I look at the picture of Mary of Magdala who had her head down and then wiped the feet of Jesus in worship. And it was said of her that, man, like that is like a waste. Remember when she pours out this perfume that's worth a year's wages. She pours it out upon Jesus, and Judas doesn't really care about the money. He actually has a false sense of worship. He thinks that worship is acts of doing rather than acts of being. And I love the fact that when you look at those words, the play is that the head is down on the ground and the hand is so close you can kiss it. What a picture of Jesus. It's a beautiful picture of Christ. And we hear, don't we, John himself, if you look at it, we have three synoptic gospels or three gospels of information, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And you have the gospel of John, which most theologians believe is not a synoptic gospel, but is more of a gospel written from revelation, meaning he's getting information from the Spirit. And you look at it, and he talks about himself. If you were a non-born-again believer, you could even ascertain maybe John's a bit prideful. He says things like this, the one that Jesus loved the most, the one that got to the temple, the tomb first, the one who ran ahead. And he talks about himself, and you're like, wait a second, shouldn't he be a little bit more humble? But I believe John was operating in a true sense of worship, where he didn't have any arrogance in him. What he had in him was this deep-seated humility and love for Christ. And because of that, he was able to speak like that freely. There was nothing in him when he spoke like that in worship that enabled him to start to get big-headed, because he was at the feet of Christ. And so as we position ourselves for 2020 and everything it's going to entail, even the things that we don't like, even the things that we find really difficult, even our triumphs, I pray for us that we would be a family and a movement that positions itself at the feet of Jesus first. And it's interesting, isn't it? Because we hear again that Mary, who has a sister called Martha, there's a lot of preaching done on this, right? And Martha wasn't doing particularly anything bad. She just wasn't doing what was better for her. And it's amazing to think that sometimes in our Christian walk, we feel like if I deal with this God activity, I'll do really good stuff. But he might just be calling us to the feet first. Amen. And so I want to encourage us to be people that live at Jesus' feet and people that minister from that place. It was said of Mary, it's a beautiful story. Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. If you know the Jewish culture, after 4 days, they believe the spirit had left the body. And so he's really dead. And I believe that's why Christ waited that long. And Christ comes to the gate of the city. Do we know what the city's name is? Bethany. If you're named Bethany in here, or you have a person called Bethany in your life, I'll tell you two things. Bethany, in its unredeemed form, okay, means house of destruction. Bethany, in its redeemed form, means a palace of his presence. Palace of his presence, amen. And so Jesus is waiting at the gate of the city of destruction. And it's interesting, Martha, she hears that the master has come and she comes out to him and she doesn't say anything illegal or anything wrong, but it doesn't move his heart. And she goes back and we don't ever hear Jesus saying to Martha, tell Mary to come. But she says to her sister, he has called you. What? And Mary goes out, and what does she do? She falls at his feet. And it says, after she had performed that worship, he moved into the city, and he raised up Lazarus from the dead. What do we learn from this? We learn that our posture of worship moves the heart of God. And when we started this movement in March 2014, our intention was that every single person in the whole of the world has the ability through worship to move the heart of God. Is that going to look the same for everyone? Totally not. And that's totally fine. But everyone has the ability and the capacity to move God's heart through worship. We look in the New Testament and we see incredible movements happening all over the earth. It's said of the people that were believers, they turned the whole world upside down. The known world was turned upside down, not by people who had good programs or they had really good social media accounts. They turned the world upside down because their posture of worship first enabled the kingdom of God to come through them. And so my encouragement as well is that we would be a people that worship him in spirit and in truth. And then out of that place comes the kingdom of God and everything that we do. It doesn't mean we're not going to have trials. It doesn't mean we're not going to have tribulations. It doesn't mean we're not going to have triumphs. What it does mean is that we are positioned in a place, like I spoke about 2 weeks ago, where you can go through a storm in a boat and the bottom of the boat is filled with water. You're like Jesus laying on a pillow. You don't even move, because you are so secure in worship, in life, that anything can rage around you and you are peaceful in that time. Who would love that? Yeah. Amen. How many times do we get upended by circumstance, or we get upended by trial and tribulation, and all of a sudden we feel like our foundation is being pulled out from underneath us? And I feel there's a place of intimacy. And we spoke about those three words, those three Hebrew words and Greek words last time we were together, where we can find a place in intimacy that secures and fastens us so closely to the rock of Christ that no matter what happens, we just be who we're called to be. You know, James Kenny prayed a funny prayer. I think it was at the men's communion when I was talking to him, and he said he was praying for storms to come so he could have peace. I was like, whoa. But if you look at the reality of it, Jesus, there were storms coming against Christ all the time. But he had this peace and this knowing. So whether you are like full of faith like James is for storms to come and to have full peace, or whether you're closer to the camp that says, I don't really like storms at all, but I'll have the peace, it doesn't really matter where you sit. The idea is this, is that at the feet of Christ, that position of our heart, that intention to be with him in intimacy and purity and holiness will anchor us into peace, will anchor us into a place where everything can be going to hell, so to speak, around us, and we have this security in Christ. Amen? Amen. I wasn't going to talk about any of that stuff, so that's good. We praise God. Landmarks. This is an actual photo footage from a satellite of a piece of land. I'm not going to tell you where it is. You can just guess. I like the bit of the guess as we're moving together. But after last sanctuary, there was a moment in as they were leading us in worship where the Lord came and it was an ancient door opened. And we were very, very excited by this because it was then we didn't say anything to anyone, but it was then confirmed by people who started to release their declaration for 2020. And there was a lot of talk about ancient gates being opened. And so you look in the Word of God and you find that in the Psalms it says this, that the ancient gates would open up so who can come in? Not us. So the King of Glory can come in. Who is the King of Glory? The Lord what? Strong and mighty. Amen. What a beautiful thing to happen in a move that we wouldn't even be thinking about ourselves, but we would be worshiping. The ancient gates open and then the King of Glory comes in. It's a beautiful thing. And so it's giving us confirmations about what the Lord is doing with us and through us. And when I say us, I mean us. Amen. And so I want to say some things today that hopefully you can take, and this will be available later, so don't try and write it all down. You can if you want, but I'll give it to everyone later. But we have to remember that Yahweh is historic, he's fully present, and he's futuristic at the same time. Who's ever felt confused in their Christian walk? I'll just leave now. I think one of the things we get confused by is that sometimes in our minds, we can't figure out how Yahweh can be this, this, and this. And it almost seems like contradictory, but I want to just say to you that Yahweh being so magnificent and so outside of time, thought, and reason, he can be all things at once. All things at once. And that's why sometimes during your days or your weeks, you could be sensing the Lord's taking me back to this place in my past, or he's taking me to the future in this vision, or he's very present right now. And I want us to be okay with him doing that and allowing us through worship to posture ourselves so we can do that. Who desires that we believe we are all fully healed, set free, and delivered by the blood of Jesus? Amen? And that on the cross he accomplished all things. Yes, we believe that. Amen? But who also senses in some places in their life they still want breakthrough? You still want to overcome. And so if the one truth is true, you know, there's a lot of said about inner healing. We heard about the inner healing movement. Amen? Yeah. And I sense that as we become more intimate with Jesus, we don't just get healed or come into more wholeness. I feel what happens is that the Holy Spirit actually enables us to understand more about intimacy, and that in itself brings healing. Amen? And so I want us to think about Yahweh as being all things at once. He's very historic. Think about the fact that you were born. Maybe someone in here is born pre 1950. Well, Nana Eagle is, but she's not here this morning. But all of us could have been positioned on the earth at any time. Who would have liked the Middle Ages?
Whoa.
Oh, thank you, Josh. There's got to be one sword-wielding man in here that's like, oh, yes. Who would like the 1920s? Yeah. Oh, I see. Yeah, Claire's in there. You've got it. Okay. 1970s? Some of you grew up in the, oh, James is like, that's me. Okay. Who dreams of the hoverboard? Who's ever, come on, who's that? You've seen skateboards, they're pretty good, but who's, you know, Back to the Future, who wants that hoverboard? Like, that'd be a good experience, amen? Okay. Huh? Amen. That's it. But Yahweh, this is how divine His plan is for each and every one of you. He chose specifically for you to be born at a moment for His desires to be fulfilled on the earth. He could have chosen any time in history for you to be born. How amazing and beautiful is that? Amazing and beautiful that He chose for you to be born in these moments so you could influence the whole of history by worshiping Jesus at His feet. Anyone ever been criticized for being at His feet before? Or shouldn't you be doing, or isn't, well, it's hard. Faith without what? Is dead. Works, right? But if you're going to look at that word works, it's not meaning you've got to go and tie yourself out and do works. It's actually, the word works is positioning myself at Jesus' feet, hearing the Father's voice, and then doing that. Amen? Okay. Is that okay? His landmarks supersede space, time, geography, and gravity. I'm going to ask you about your landmarks in faith in a moment, but we have to remember that His landmarks supersede all this. I was preparing and getting ready, and I thought I had a grasp of what I was going to say, and then obviously in my incompleteness, and so Amariah comes to me, and she says to me, she draws me a picture and says, did you remember the galaxies and the stars? She's 4 years old. So she gives me a picture of galaxies and stars. And I said, and then as I'm praying, I have this picture in front of me, and the Lord says, my boundaries are outside, my landmarks are outside time, space, geography. So I went onto the Hubble Telescope website. If you feel like, if you're having a bad day, just go on that website and just look at the awe-inspiring things that He has made for His delight, that the Bible says pour forth speech continually, right? This is what it says the stars do. I don't know how it happens, so don't ask me. And then you have this earth where I was reading, there was a galaxy, it's 800 trillion light years away. I can't even fathom that. And that galaxy was put there by Yahweh on purpose, for some divine purpose, and here is the small little earth. And for some reason, that galaxy 800 trillion light years away has a need for the earth, and the earth has a need for that. It's incredible, right? His boundaries and landmarks are so much greater. And if anything today, what I would like to communicate to you is that the landmarks, I feel sometimes the landmarks that we think are good in God, He wants to expand our territory all the time. But the first territory He will expand is not a physical territory or give you more influence or authority. The first place that He will expand you is in your heart. And if you know Christian people that are doing well in the Lord or have done beautiful things in God, you will know they've been people of deep intimacy with Jesus. And as He has expanded their own heart, things around them have started to expand. And I think what it is this. I actually think it's just the kingdom of God expanding around them as they become more and more like Jesus, as they become more and more in Christ. Amen? It's like being able to abide in the true vine. Abiding in the vine. Abiding in the vine. Grapes won't grow by themselves. They need other grape plants around them. But they also need to be, we need all the environments right. And what I feel the Holy Spirit has been saying to us as a movement is that if we continue, because it's very easy to go, okay, I've done the feet of Jesus thing now. what's the next thing, God? Who's ever done that? Was that just me? Oh, cool. Just me. And so, okay, we want the next. All right, what's the next thing, the Lord? And is this more of that? And I feel the Holy Spirit saying to the church and to the wider church that there are depths in Him we do not know. There are depths in Him we haven't experienced. And all those things will be found at His feet. And you don't really need too much to add on to that. You just need to have more of that, more of intimacy with Christ. Amen. And we learned about that a fortnight ago, where the word that we look at for intimacy means to become one with. To become one with. Amen? Okay. I'm not going to hold us too much. So I want faith to move mountains today. I want you to think of a landmark now, and I want you to think about what you see. So just in your own mind, think of a landmark. You don't have to be clever in your answer. Just when you think of a landmark, what do you actually see? Something big stands out. Okay, yep. Anyone else? Famous. Okay, yep. Anything else? A volcano. Okay, yep. Point of reference. Yep. Anything else? Something bright. Yeah, okay, yep. People are drawn to it to see it. Yep. Anything else? A lake. Yep. Okay, yep. A lighthouse. Yep. Significant. Yep. Okay. Thank you so much. I want you to think now about what are the faith landmarks that are in your life. Maybe one was salvation. Who can remember the time when they got saved? How exciting was it when you found Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? I've never met someone who got saved going, oh, he was all right. It's pretty good. That's a landmark, isn't it, in our lives? That landmark of salvation. But we're not called to that being the be-all and end-all of our own land. That's not our only landmark. I feel like revival is the door to renewal, that salvation is the door of the kingdom. And through salvation, we get access to who Christ is. And I feel like our lives should be continually marked with new landmarks. Continually marked with these things in faith that we go, why did he never thought he could do that and he did it. I never thought I could get out of that situation that I fell in 100 times, even when I said, I'm not going to do it again. And he took me out of that. I'm delivered now. Who can testify to the mark of deliverance where Jesus delivered them and now that is a landmark? Amen? Positioning ourselves at the feet of Jesus enables these things to come into our lives. Amen? And we've spoken as a movement that we believe that sin only happens because we are out of rest. Only when we're out of rest. When we sense ourselves being restless, it enables temptation, which when acted upon is sin. Amen? That's what the word says. And so as a community, as a family, as a movement, we want to encourage each other to battle and, as Dom says, strive our way, the word says, into rest. For in the rest of Christ at his feet, we will be set free. And the word says, for who the Son has set free is free indeed. It didn't say, for who the church set free is free indeed. It didn't say who the pastor set free is free indeed. It says who the Son set free is free indeed. Okay. A landmark biblically is always a boundary, and it's normally a territorial boundary. And in the book of Hosea, who's read Hosea? Not Redeeming Love, I mean the real book of Hosea. Right? Redeeming Love is beautiful, by the way. Okay, I've been encouraged to read it. But Hosea is a picture, a prophetic picture. So you have Hosea, the prophet, prophet of God. Do we agree? Yes. Who's told by the Lord, go and marry a person who is a harlot, a person who is in prostitution. And it actually says, go and marry someone who's under the spirit of whoredom. And we know several times that Yahweh asks Hosea to go and he goes. What about Christ? And Christ comes after us. Okay? He comes after. But in Hosea chapter 5, It's an interesting few statements. And it says this, the princes of Judah tried to expand the boundaries through false worship. The actual word there is landmark. They tried to move the boundaries through false worship. And the Lord says this, I will pour out my wrath like all the waters on them. And what I want to challenge us to do is, and this is not solely for our movement, but as we are leading others in the experience of Christianity, is that we can say that the princes of Judah, so everyone, Judah means praise, it does, but the root word of that is to shoot an arrow. So Judah means to shoot an arrow and hit the target. Okay, that's the root word of that word Judah. And what I find sometimes is that in my life, and I'm going to try and be vulnerable without I'll just keep going. We have to be people that worship in spirit and truth. When you carry the giftings of God, it's very easy to minister. But gifting never equates to character. And gifting never equates to intimacy. And gifting never equates to you sitting at Christ's feet. I went to New Zealand in 2012, 2013, my second trip there. I went to a city called Napier. And Napier is this Art Deco city. And we had a big tent revival. I had a bodyguard with me. I got off the plane, this big 6'10" guy comes, hey, bro. I said, hey, bro. Got my Kiwi accent on. And he's like, I'm your bodyguard. I said, oh, okay. I didn't think I needed one. He goes, oh, yeah, you do, bro. Wonderful. Why didn't they tell me that before I got on the plane? And so anyway, we go to Napier, and we're in the plaza of Napier, which is like a Art Deco plaza. I see a man who's deaf. I went up to him, and in my educated ways, I start talking. Oh, no, it wasn't really immaturity. That's the next story is. I went up and spoke to this man, but I was going like, why aren't you speaking to me? Well, I didn't know then that he was deaf. I just thought he was being rude. Like, oh, how you going, mate? And he's just like, then I was like, oh, are you deaf? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, how did he? I don't know. Anyway, it was a bit strange. Maybe he was lip reading. And so we sat on a park bench in the middle of the plaza and we prayed. And as we prayed, he goes, I can hear. And I was like, whoa, this is so good. And so we prayed and the blessing came. There was a girl, a netballer from New Zealand, and she had a broken leg. We prayed and her broken leg, she started running around the plaza. Her mum said, what do I do now? I said, I don't know. I just felt to pray for you. I don't know how to do anything else really. And all these miracles broke out. But when I got home, I was at Glenbrook Skate Park, and I was really adamant that I was going to change the world. Anyone ever believe that? In immaturity, that you're going to change the world. None of you ever believed that. Okay, no worries. Whew, a bit fragile up here now, right? And I went to this, and I prayed, and we used to pray at Glenbrook Skate Park all the time at night. So I prayed, and the Lord said to me, retreat to my holy mountain and pray, or it's finished. And I was like, I'm arguing with God. I've just seen the outpouring of the Spirit. I've seen revival, signs and wonders, and all these things happening, and so on and so forth. And then I got really sick, and it lasted for about 3.5-4 years, right? And I don't believe Yahweh gave me anything to that, but I had a door open in my life, and it was called no character. You guys might be Jesus' third cousins, so you wouldn't know what that is. But I realized that gifting alone can only take you so far, that we need to be people of intimacy that sit at the feet of Christ so we can grow in the character of God. And then as that character grows in us, we start to become so mature that we only move when he asks us to move. Amen? Yeah? And so my encouragement is that don't try and get the Lord to expand your territory until we have the territory of our heart, and not only with him, but also growing in him. If the psalmist could say, Lord, expand, like search me and then expand the tent of my heart. That place of intimacy then enabled that believer to do things that the Bible says this, that you are called to what eye has not seen. You are called to what ear has not heard, and you are called to enter into that which he hasn't ever done. Isn't that beautiful? And then he goes on and says this, that he will do exceedingly and abundantly above all that you can ever hope, dream, or imagine. It is. It's a lot, but it's out of the place of worship. It's out of the place of intimacy with Jesus. Just a couple of things and then we'll run. The boundary lines for me have fallen in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. I sense what the Holy Spirit is doing. He's delivering us of want. Delivering us of want. I feel this, the more we spend at his feet, you know, some of the greatest Christians that I know have nothing. I have a man that I track with in India right now. He just started his 70th or something house church. I'm feeling a bit dejected when I hear that. His 70th house church, that's who he's called to. He said, he had to stay in villages full of Muslims because the petrol he used to get to the place, he didn't have any to get back. So when you go there, you better trust the Lord. And he said, I only have enough to get here. He sent me a message last night, about 3 o'clock this morning, it comes in from India. Just another believer got saved in another house church. Then you go, wow, this guy. And when you talk to him, or when he has nothing, like literally nothing, but the power of God is moving on his life because he's found that place of intimacy. And out of that place of intimacy, no fear comes on him. He'll travel where he's got no petrol to get back. And he'll go there because he's at the feet of Christ, and then Christ has called him to do that. Sometimes your life won't look very appealing or even very nice to the world around you, but is it supposed to? Is it supposed to? Can you imagine the Apostle Paul, a Hebrew of Hebrews, a Pharisee of Pharisees, all of a sudden gets turned upside down, right? Spends this time in the Damascus desert, and then is a burning witness for the gospel. It's incredible what happens in transformation, amen? I encourage you that out of that place of intimacy, you're going to influence people that literally can shake nations. Whether you're called to the business realm, the education realm, the whatever realm you're called to, out of intimacy, you will start to influence people that are going to change the atmosphere in places. As we do that as well, as we are satisfied with the Lord, David said this, I'm satisfied with the boundary you've given me. That's the king. The king who ruled for 33 years. That's the king who says, I'm satisfied with where you have me. What? Aren't you supposed to be overtaking, overthrowing? Wasn't that why they were so upset with Jesus? Well, if he's the Messiah, he's going to come and overthrow the Romans. But they didn't see that Jesus was going to overthrow every kingdom, not just the Romans. He was going to overthrow all things at once. Amen. We need to be encouraged in how we live at the feet of Christ. John 4, we went through that before. This beautiful word worship. Could a landmark we are called to be when we start falling more and more into him? Could that be a landmark in our lives? Intimacy with Christ. You ever had those times where you're just like, oh, this is so sweet with Jesus. Or this is new with Jesus. And this is a faith landmark that positions you then to go on. And is it amazing in your life, every faith landmark that you have, you're able to speak out of that place to somebody else. So if you've been delivered, let's just say you've been delivered of something. Let's just say you've been delivered of something, and then all of a sudden that landmark in your life gives you the authority, the ability, and the power to then see other people come out of that, and that becomes a landmark in their life. Amen? A healing that breaks out in your life. Kath had a sore hip. So Adam Wilkes comes over last year and we pray, and her foot grows as we're praying. So then her feet are actually aligned. You're not going to have a sore hip after your feet grow, right? We were praying for a young man once. His foot grew too far past the other one. And I said to the Lord, "Wait, I just wanted it to be the same as this one." And so the Lord said, "Well, then pray it back." So I said, "Lord, can you please bring his foot back to the..." And his foot comes back. That was cool, right? But it's only out of, I feel, only out of intimacy those things are released. You know, there's a young man, I was in a meeting, and there's a young man, and the Lord said, "Don't pray for anyone. Ask that young kid to pray for someone." I said, no, that's going to get me in a lot of trouble. And this is my thought. I'll tell you the secret of my heart. I'll never be invited back. Because at that time, I had an issue with pride about being invited places because I got the power of God on my life. What a ridiculous notion, right? And so this young man prays. I said, "You're going to pray for this man to be healed. He has a broken shoulder. He's scheduled for surgery in 2 days' time." He looks at me. He says, "What?" I said, "Yeah." I said, I want to show you that God is not a God of one person. He's a God of community." So this young boy never prayed for healing. He put his hand on his shoulder, right? And this young guy, he's like, "Oh, I can't do this." Well, obviously you can. He started doing 10, 12 chin-ups on a bar, right? That's going to mess you up. That young boy then, what's it going to do? His life's going to change his life, okay? Be bold with what you get out of intimacy. I don't know why I'm picking this chair. But be bold with what you do with the words of intimacy that come out of the Lord, amen? Okay. I haven't got to any of my notes, but that's okay. I'm not in a rush. That doesn't mean I'm going to preach for 4 more hours. You guys were like, "Oh, it's Australia Day." I didn't even know it was Australia Day, so I'm here forever. I'm like, "Yeah!" And I'm going to pause in a moment because all the notes I have are just ready to go for this. But I want us to understand some of the deep truth that is in Romans 8 and not the end of Romans 8 that we're always used to. Or the start of Romans. What does the start of Romans say? Romans 8, what does it say? Amen. In Christ, amen. We all know that one, right? And we all know the end of Romans 8 as well. There's not death, nor life, nor angel, nor demon, nor principality, nor power can separate me from the love of God, amen. But we're probably going to camp out here for a few months, or I'm going to camp out here for a few months. And I feel there's some incredible revelation in here that comes out of the seed of intimacy. And there's some really peculiar verses that say things like this: "For the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God." First and foremost, all the women in here, that word "sons" does not mean a male in terms of a son. It means someone who looks like the Son of God. Okay? So do we believe in here that women can look like the Son of God? Oh, please say yes. Amen, right? It also means that men can look like the Son of God, obviously. Okay? But I want to break this over the next few months because there's a truth in here for us as we steward out of the place of intimacy. There's great stewarding happening around the earth right now where people are starting to understand apokostasis and these incredible Greek words that talk about what you have in the authority you find in intimacy with Christ. There's some beautiful truth in here. I'm just going to drop one thing into your heart and then I'm going to finish up today. The word "anxious" and "persistent expectation," it actually comes from this root word called apokaradokia, and it means this: creation is waiting for someone to believe that out of intimacy they can change the world around them. Creation, and if you go and look at the word "creation" there, it's actually not the word "cosmos," like in John 3:16. You ever heard John 3:16 before? "For God so loved the world," no, "for God so loved the cosmos that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believed in him would have eternal life." Amen. It's a different word. It's ketesis, and it means that everything that has been created by Yahweh should be under the rule of a son or daughter who is born again. Okay? We're going to unpack this because I feel like the church has been taught the wrong thing about this, and I want us to unpack it in a biblical way that gives us time and space to eat it as we need to. But I'm going to pause there today, which is unlike me to pause, and I want to pray for us that as we seek the place of intimacy with Jesus, that might look completely different to every single person in here. But as we seek that place, we will find the greatest breakthrough, the greatest treasure. We will have, as the Word of God tells us, we will have access to the mysterion of God, the mysteries of God. We're going to learn in a few weeks' time when I'm back here, probably 4 or 5 weeks, that we're going to learn that part of this says, oh, it's so good, I don't want to start it, but it's just so, like, there are things that God has hidden in himself that are not available to the common gaze, but have to be found from the seat of intimacy. Whoa. And some people might say, oh, you're prideful for believing that God has mysteries. They need to read the Word. The mysteries aren't for us to go, oh, well, I'm going to make a Facebook page out of the mysteries of God. They're for us to be better stewards of the kingdom of heaven, which we are called to be kingdom people. Amen. I'm not saying religious people anymore, because religious people are awesome. Because true religion is beautiful. Amen. So I'm just going to pray for us that maybe we're going to worship, but we're going to pray for people. If you want prayer for anything today, we would love to pray and join the Holy Spirit in what he would like to say. But I pray for you that you the heart, your tent in your heart, the capacity, the things in your heart would be expanded through the place of intimacy. That the Holy Spirit would take you on an incredible adventure where you discover more and more and more about who you truly are, and at the same time, more and more and more about who Jesus truly is. That's the prayer of our heart. And then out of that place, we connect that Holy Spirit with the words you gave us for this year, 2020, that we would be people that live in the aroma of endless triumph. That everywhere we go, triumph, the aroma when we leave, when we're about to arrive, whatever you want to do, Holy Spirit, would be endless triumph. That people in hopelessness would find hope through you in us. And we ask these things in your beautiful and precious name, Jesus. I thank you for every ear here that has been patient enough to allow me, Holy Spirit, in your graces to speak this to them. I pray that those words that you've highlighted to their hearts, they would take and they will grow the kingdom of God in them and around them. And we just thank you for intimacy. May I be bold enough to pray, Lord, that you would search us and everything, not anything, everything that disables us from true intimacy with you, that you would come and reveal it to us, and that you would come and heal us, that you would come and deliver us, that you would come and shape and form us so we can be sons and daughters who steward your kingdom. And all the saints said, amen. Be blessed. We are so thankful. We're going to pray. I'm not sure if you guys, are you guys going to worship? Up to you. Whatever you'd love to do. Pardon? Yeah, okay, our communion, yeah. Yeah, we want to talk about communion. I'm just going to talk about, because for me, I don't know for you, but communion is very sacred. And sometimes communion can be a little bit loose. And so, thank you for reminding me. In this time of worship or prayer, we would love you to take communion wherever you would like to take it, but as an act of worship to Jesus, with Jesus, as we're receiving his body, as we're receiving his blood, we're entering into the promise that he gave us to remember him in that. But we want to see a sacredness and a preciousness in what we do in terms of communion. I'm going to pray and just bless the sacraments, and then people can just head over by themselves if they would like to take communion. Father, we thank you for your body of Jesus, that was given up for us so we could have eternal life. And Lord, we ask as we partake in that body through the emblem of the biscuit or the bread, that we would receive that with thanksgiving into our hearts and minds and bodies, souls, and in our spirits, God. And we thank you for your blood in the representation of the juice or the wine, and we thank you for that blood that was poured out for us, the precious blood of Jesus. And as we do receive that as well, we partake in what the blood has purchased for us in you, Christ, and we just say thank you.